Starlink or what you see with other services, low Earth orbit types of services. And the beauty of that is for then for individuals who in very difficult parts of the islands to reach. So, for example, those who are in camp or those customers and people who really need that low latency service, such as businesses. It's an ideal setup for them as well. So, yes, you know, I said we needed to catch up. Yes, the technology has moved on at a really fast pace over the last year to 18 months. And we're now, you know, I said that yesterday, and we're now starting to show that we can bring those developments here to the Falkland Islands as well.
So you spoke about some of the packages that you proposed yesterday. We'll get onto them in a moment. But do you think that Shure has been doing enough in the last 18 months to 24 months in order to keep up with that technology? Do you think if you'd introduced more improvements along the way, you wouldn't have to make such a large leap, as it were?
I think in the ideal world, you're probably right. And I think it's not so much whether we think we've been doing enough. I think the message that I've been receiving is that the community, you know, our customers don't feel like we've been doing enough. And that's why I said that we're working extremely hard, flat out. In fact, you know, the 30 strong team that we have here in the Falklands are working really hard, both to bring these new solutions and these new ideas to catch up and to meet people's expectations in a better way. But also the team in Guernsey, where I'm based and the headquarters is, we've got a team of experts there who are working flat out. And we also are talking to all of our suppliers, our global suppliers, in how we can bring the different technologies here. And, you know, the thing I would say as well is that telecoms business or the supply of telecommunications is a long-term endeavor. It's not something which you can just flick the switch and make instant improvements. There's millions of pounds of investment that goes into these things, and it takes time for the technology to mature and to be readied as well. We're working really hard to bring the new stuff, and we're also working really hard to fix some of the things which I know are upsetting people as well, and get our service back to the standard that it should be.
So you said that, yeah, it takes time, but you must be able to see, obviously, why people here are of the opinion that Shure hasn't invested enough, because in 2022, at the end of 2022, that's when we were told to expect LEO to be introduced in the middle of 2023. And that still hasn't been introduced. So Shure must be able to understand the opinion that some people have, that maybe Shure has relied too much on the fact that you have an exclusive license and no competition, and that has made you be a little bit lazy.
Yeah, I accept that it looks that way, but I can tell you that it's not that. That's not the situation. We have got the OneWeb, the LEO solution now fully working, and we started to talk to business customers who we want to trial or give the opportunity to trial that technology. And yes, it's taken a year longer than we hoped and wanted it to take.
Is it still the same infrastructure that you installed already?
Yes. Yep. Yes. So that. So there's two things with LEO and OneWeb that we're basically ready to launch now. The first is what we call the integrated solution. So that means that as a business customer, you can direct, if you want to use cloud services over a low latency LEO service, you can access cloud services using that and then access regular services over the existing Shure proposition, if that makes sense, over the geostationary one. So for business customers, they can get the best of both worlds. And there are differences and advantages to using both as well. But it comes as an integrated solution. So it means that if one isn't working, then the other one is there. So that's what we've been working, as I say, hard on. It's complicated technology. That's not an excuse. It's just to explain why it's taken us so long. So it's not because we've been lazy. It's not because we've been resting on our laurels when it comes to our exclusivity. It's because it's been a complicated thing to do. We don't know of anyone else around the world that has brought this technology together in this way and is distributing it like we are and providing it like we are here in the Falkland Islands. So we've been breaking new ground, and it's complicated technology, as I say. It did take too long, and I fully admit that. But it's nothing to do with anything other than the time it's taken. And it's not for a lack of effort as well. So, yeah, that's where we are with that. And then we're ready with the, as you saw yesterday, we demonstrated the new flat panel solution, which can go direct to the customer. So it's not an integrated solution. You either take the existing Shore solution or this new one. And as I say, that's ideally, you know, positioned for camp customers and more for business customers as well.
Talking of the proposals from last night, obviously the reaction last night probably wasn't very favourable for the new proposed packages. And for Stanley, you've got the two unlimited proposals, one that's going to cost £50 a month for a slightly lower speed than most of the packages allow now. And then you've got the other one, which is £115 for a slightly higher speed, about double the speed of what we've got now. Do you think that's a fair choice?
Yes, I do, and I with respect, think that actually it was well received. We had quite a lot of people coming up to us after the presentation, both in the morning with the Chamber of Commerce and also in the afternoon session to say how excited people are with those packages. So, yeah, it's a huge step forward. You know, what we're looking at doing is, removing the caps, removing the quotas, which are a very frustrating experience for a lot of people. It removes the need to stay up till midnight to take advantage of the free window and these kind of things. So it gives you peace of mind. The cost is far, far lower than today's unlimited packages as well. And the speed's up to 15 megs for the top package at £115 is, it's far faster than what you're looking at for the vast majority of people as well.
For the package that's the lower end, the £50 one, will you be taking on any of the feedback that was raised last night about perhaps looking at a middle ground package that would be lower than that to suit those customers right now who are on those, £20 to £40 a month packages, I think?
We're open to, there was a number of suggestions that have been made. We'll look at those. We are talking to the government as well about all of this. So we want to provide the right solution for as many people as we can. I think it's a case of we won't be able to please all of the people all the time, but we'll do our best to accommodate all these different requests that are coming in as well.
And so the exclusive license, it doesn't just cover internet, it covers other communications, it covers telephone as well. What can we expect in improvements when it comes to the mobile network and the telephone network over the next couple of years or in the imminent future?
First of all, it's very important to remember that Shore doesn't just provide a broadband network, and it seems to be where everyone's focus is right now, and that all of those services that we provide, so mobile, fixed line, that include things that are probably taken for granted, I would suggest, like emergency calling, are all part and parcel of life and very, very important to island life as well. And all these things come together as a package, because they're running over the same network and infrastructure. The local team here support all of that as one set of telecommunications. So it's very difficult to think of them as individual components in a sense of that's why we do have an exclusive license, is to provide all of those services across the whole island. So I think that's an important point. What improvements are we going to make on the mobile network? So I've been hearing over the last few days of some of the problems that people experience with the mobile network. So for example, missed calls, some interruptions in coverage, and some issues with receiving texts and or SMSs. So those are things that we have to put right, and I've got a team of people looking at all of those right at this moment in time. So I want to get those all addressed. The second thing, though, is I think we've got a great 4G network here, and I think that we could really improve the speed of that network and utilize that network better. So I've also got a review of that underway as well. And we are looking at what else can be done. What other upgrades can we bring to the 4G network? And could we look at, further afield in terms of looking further into the future, into what technologies we can bring to the island as well? So that includes things like 5G, which would radically improve and up the speeds of the network as well. So, you're talking about gigabit speeds with 5G. That is more looking into the future, though, in terms of that's not going to happen in the next few months. That's a year or two away at least.
So why have that review and those reviews into the mobile network taken until now to do? We've all known about a lot of the issues with the mobile network for quite a long time. I'm one of those people that has trouble with the ODP messages, especially from the bank. I actually find it easier to have my GIFGAF SIM card from the UK in my phone, and it's more reliable to receive the text messages than it is for me to receive them on a Shure network. Why is that?
I think it's complicated, honestly. It's not necessarily, you might think that therefore equals that's a Shure problem, and because you get your messages on your GIFGAF SIM card. The way that SMS is routed through the world is very complicated. And I can tell you that it is not necessarily Shure's fault. Shure and the Falkland Islands is a very small, as you can appreciate, telecoms operator in the global context. The way that a bank such as Standard Chartered will send text messages is they don't send it themselves. They outsource that to a third party operator, and that is then further outsourced to someone else. Now that they do that at the lowest possible cost, and that means it gets routed all around the world through various intermediaries. And if what you're telling me is if it's landing on a UK SIM and not a Falkland SIM, then it could well be that routing is just the SMS is not being routed properly to the Falklands, which is actually nothing to do with Shure. That is to do with the intermediaries that the bank is using to send its text messages. So we need to, in that scenario, we need to talk to Standard Chartered, talk to their partners, find out how they're doing it, et cetera, and get to the bottom of it. But I accept that is something that Shure needs to do and needs to do and fix it quickly as well.
So when can we expect issues like that are being felt by the mobile network? When can we expect them to have resolutions or at least a pathway to resolutions?
Quickly, very quickly. So we are getting a full list of some of these issues together, and I want to get to the bottom of what are the root causes of them and get them fixed.
So you said last night that if the Falkland Islands government allowed Starlink to operate freely for everyone to get to be able to apply for VSAT licences, that Shure wouldn't operate with a profit, Shure would operate in a loss. Have you done any work to know what the threshold would be in the terms of numbers of households switching over to Starlink, which would mean that you'd be operating at a loss?
Yeah, no, we haven't done the exact analysis of exactly how many homes. But what we know from our experience in other locations is when Starlink is licensed in small island communities like this, we cannot operate alongside Starlink and we go into a unsustainable situation. So, for example, the local team couldn't be substantiated here any longer. So local service wouldn't exist. And then you end up in a situation where there would not be enough money to maintain the network itself, to do the physical work that's needed to continue in an environment like this. And very quickly it becomes an unsustainable proposition, and that means you can't rely on all of those telecommunication services that we discussed earlier on.
Would that still be the same with The investment that FIG provides, the public money that you have received in some investment over the years for infrastructure upgrades?
Yes, 100%. So the money that we, you know, it really sort of substantiates the point where we've received money for upgrades, they've been spent on those upgrades. Where the money has been received to put new networks into areas like the camp, then that network needs maintenance money, still spending on it as well. It costs an enormous amount of money to run the network, to employ a team of 30 people here locally to support that network, and to provide the capacity for broadband and international connectivity that we need to be able to make calls and all those things as well.
And presumably that work that you're talking about that has shown, you know, well, I imagine you've done modelling to show what would happen if everyone in the Falkland Islands switched over to Starlink. That will all be shared with the Falkland Islands government and discussions going forward?
So we will be talking to the government about the potential impact. And of course, that will involve some kind of exchange of information, yes.
How much of that are you willing, or are you willing to make any of that public?
No, I think at this stage, it's not appropriate to put all of that into the public domain. But I can rest assured that if Starlink were to be licensed and if Starlink were to come into the Falkland Islands, there is not room for two operators in the Falkland Islands. And, you know, I think everyone needs to really remember that it is not a sustainable situation where people can rely upon telecommunications from a local provider who's been in the Falkland Islands for 50 years, who's committed to the Falkland Islands, who employs 30 Falkland Islanders as well, has done, wants to be committed to continuing to be the provider here as well, and continue to make investments. That is not sustainable when you have more than one operator on the islands.
Does Shure operate any models currently where on islands where people are allowed their own VSAT provider but have to have a Shure connection at the same time? I think I heard something that SARC does that, no? Well, have you looked at that as well? Is that one of those model predictions that you've made, whether or not Shure could stay as a telecoms provider if fixed line rental or a basic internet package had to continue to be purchased by customers?
Not really, because the experience that we have is that when you bring in someone like Starlink, that people choose to they make their choice and then they will go with one or two, you know, one of the other, or the other provider.
The option of having telecommunications completely, telephone calls and the emergency calls, landlines, if it's the option between, you know, having to keep two and or just having one really fast, do you not think people could be, there's the opportunity for people there to make that choice, and that they would make it for the safety option?
I think all options are up there for discussion, and that could well be a solution that it could be considered as part of the overall package, if you like, that we're talking to the government about. Yes, and I think that there is some mileage in looking at those kind of ideas.
So clearly a lot for Shure to be looking at, to be going over to reviewing. And what place do you see Shure having in the Falkland Islands in the future?
Well, I hope that we remain to be the local provider. You know, we've been here, as I say, for a very long time. I acknowledge that there are frustrations, and acknowledge there's a passion there to improve things and see things improved quickly. And I've committed to doing that. And I've said yesterday that there's some new proposals there in terms of the unlimited plans and the direct-to-customer LEO solution as well, to demonstrate that we want to be here, we want to continue to provide telecommunications, to provide the critical telecommunications to the island as well, and be relied upon as the local supplier for the community, and connect the island for a better future as well. That's our purpose, that's what we're here to do. And I am very passionate and dedicated to making sure that we as a team do that here in the Falkland Islands, and I very hope that we're part of the long-term future of telecommunications here for many, many years to come.
That was Shure CEO Alistair Beak, and that's it for the news today, folks, and for the week. Many thanks for listening. I'm Triana Smith.